It's a wonderful day today, but we have to remember that the 2 days ago, and all those people that were involved in the walk of witness in town, it's a horrendous story that Jesus had to endure the cross for the joy set before him, which comes with Easter, with knowing that, that millions of people who come to believe in Jesus will also be with him. That's the joy that was set before him. But a week ago, Palm Sunday, we celebrated Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and the crowd was shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna," which, if you remember, it means "save, please" in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, its meaning has changed. Instead of "save, please," it's "salvation, thank you." And that's what we sing now. We sing "Hosanna" with that salvation. Thank you, Lord, for our salvation. And on this day, we can sing that and have that day full of hope. But before that, we had to have the Friday, the day hope was gone, it said. That week from the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, that Holy Week, as they call it, up to the Friday, building up into the Good Friday. Yeah? It was good in the end. It wasn't good at the time. Jesus had been arrested. He'd been mocked. He'd been beaten. He'd been flogged and crucified. And he died on the cross. Right? And he was buried. He was put in the tomb. Every bit of hope that was in Jesus the Messiah for his disciples, for the people of Jerusalem, for the people of Israel, was gone. It was demolished. And I can imagine people in Sri Lanka thinking that now. Right? That people think, amidst all this destruction, their hope is gone. But hope will rise. Hope will rise. It will come back. On the Saturday in between, that Sabbath day, the scriptures don't tell us that much about what happened. And there's a few things going on there, like the soldiers sent to guard the tomb. But I can't imagine that Saturday. Jesus died. You wake up with nothing. Nothing to look forward to. The despair, the disillusionment, the sadness, the grief, no hope. Future had gone. And that's what must have been the feeling again on the Sunday morning, on the Easter morning, on that early in that first morning when the ladies came to anoint Jesus' body. Jesus had been buried in a hurry on the Friday. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had put him into the tomb before the Sabbath started at sunset. And they'd quickly anointed his body, but not done a thorough job. But the ladies came to do it properly on the Sunday morning. But let's see what it says in Scripture about that. So if you turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10. I would like to look at that Easter morning. You get the full picture by reading all the Gospels. If you just read one, you get the main picture and a few bits, but then the others always add to it, so there's always extra things. But that first Sunday morning in Matthew 28, verse 1, it says, "After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy." It was turning. Afraid but filled with joy. That hope was rising. That hope was rising. "Suddenly, Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" He's not here. the angel said, he is risen. He has risen, just as he said. That hope's come. And then what confirms your hope? They met him. They met Jesus. What greater proof is there? You meet the risen Saviour. So all the emotions that they've been going through, the despair, the shock, the disbelief, the uncertainty, then they met Jesus, wiped away. All that disbelief, doubt, gone, taken away. They clasped his feet and worshipped him. That hope was coming back. We're a bit fickle. We tend to go up and down. And there's no, the people then, Mary, the two Marys, were just the same. Their hope was dashed, but then it came back. And we'll have times like that where our hope gets dashed, but it will come back. It will come back. So if we have a look in Mark's Gospel, what he says about that resurrection day. In Mark's Gospel, it's chapter 16, and verse 1 to 8. It said, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on the way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? When we were watching the film Risen, this stone is not a small affair. They sealed the tomb with this huge stone, disc-shaped, and it fits into a groove in the ground, so you can actually, looks like you could roll it in quite comfortably with a few of you, right? Get it out, no chance, right? You are not going to move that unless there's something supernatural that's going to do it, okay? And that's what we will find. But very early, they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, right? He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Now, all those emotions, they were alarmed, they were trembling, they were bewildered, they were afraid. This is not real. This can't be happening. Where is Jesus? He should be in the tomb. Right? But the angel said, go and tell his disciples. And tell especially Peter. Right? Because remember, Peter's last actions were he had denied the Lord three times. So Peter was picked out in particular. Go and tell Peter, right, that Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. And in verse 9, it carries on. It says, when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, and they were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Well, that's natural. But she did, because she had seen him. We're told she had seen him. She had seen Jesus. She'd seen him. She'd got the proof, got the evidence. Okay, and so it adds a little bit extra to that Easter morning story. And Luke's gospel does the same. It adds a little bit more. If you turn with me to Luke 24, it's that same morning, the Sunday morning, the first day of the week in the Jewish weekly calendar. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. When they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe. They hadn't seen him yet. They did not believe. They did not believe. Because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Right? Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. He was beginning to get that belief. Something, he's not there. He's not in the tomb. Where's he gone? Now, he hasn't seen Jesus yet, but there's obviously, can you imagine that? Dashed hopes being changed. Hang on, there's a hope here. There's a chance. It might be that Jesus is alive. They'd taken the Lord out of the tomb. That's the first thought. He's gone. Not he's left by himself. Not he's risen from the dead. They thought the authorities or others had moved his body. And they didn't know where they'd put him. But Mary saw and believed. Right? Saw and believed. But there was disbelief. Even the strips of linen. But it made them wonder what was happening. Made them wonder. And then if we just look in John's Gospel, my fault. Chapter 20. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead, but he saw and believed. Right? It carries on. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they've put him. At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. Woman, he said, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. I have seen the Lord, she said. But before that, she was just in despair. They've taken him out of the tomb. Where's he gone? What have you done with him? The disciples, Peter and John, that ran there, because John was the disciple whom Jesus loved, they ran there, they saw the empty tomb and the folded linen. They knew something had happened. But it was only John that believed. He saw and believed. Right? He saw and believed. He saw the empty tomb, the folded linen, and he dared to believe Jesus actually had risen from the dead. And we have to do that because we don't see him. We have to dare to believe. We've got Scripture. We've got the Holy Spirit. But we have to dare to believe. Right? Because as Mary says later, I have seen the Lord. That hope that was shattered Good Friday had now been resurrected. Just like Jesus, that hope rises again. It was resurrected. But it changes. Right? It changes because Now it is stronger, deeper, greater than ever before, because they had hope in Jesus. Now they've got hope in a risen Jesus, something different, something special. Death had been defeated, right? Jesus had said, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and then on the third day be raised again. Destroy this temple, he said, and in 3 days I will rebuild it. And now they were beginning to see it. Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God, he had risen. He'd done what he said. Death has been swallowed up in victory. That's what Isaiah said. Hundreds of years before. Right? Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? That's what Hosea had said hundreds of years before. And now it was all coming true. It was all coming true. All the scriptures, all the prophetic words. Jesus had been resurrected. Hope had been resurrected. But better than ever before. Now, our Christian faith is based purely on this main two-day event. Jesus' death and his resurrection. If you're a Christian, you base it on that. Now, there are some Christians who, and even some high up in church, who say, well, we're not so sure about the resurrection. But if you don't believe in the resurrection, your faith is futile. It tells us that later. Right? We have to, firstly, we've got to believe. We must believe. Right? Believe in God and believe in his Son. We may not have seen him. Right? Doesn't matter. We may not have seen him. We must believe. And then secondly, we've got to turn to him. We've got to call on his name. We've got to repent of our sins. Admit we're sinners. Repent or perish, Jesus said. And because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Third thing, we've got to give it away, surrender. Not ourselves, we've got to surrender things. To God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then we can allow that Holy Spirit, because it's God's Spirit. It tells in Romans 8, verse 11, it tells us it's that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that will give life to our mortal bodies. It's the same Spirit. Right? And it's that through his Spirit who lives in you. He lives in us by faith. That's why he lives in us. He lives by faith. And that's born again, born of the Spirit. And Jesus had said again, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. And by faith in the blood of Jesus, our sins have been washed away. They've been cleansed by his blood. His blood cleanses from all sin. That blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sins. That was at his death. At his resurrection, by faith in his resurrections, it tells us in Colossians 2:12, having been buried with him in baptism, and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When we get baptized under here, when it's full of water, that's a symbol of the death and resurrection. And we are baptized with Jesus. We're buried under the water when he was buried. Right? And we're raised to life when he was raised to life. And that's that public declaration that we are Christians and we believe. That's why we get baptized. It's that symbol that we do. It's a confession of faith. And Jesus says, repent and be baptized. Okay. Colossians 1:27 talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what we have. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And it's by faith we have this hope. That famous description of faith in Hebrews 11:1. It says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We may not see, but we have a hope. I'm certain that hope will take place. That's faith. That's faith in a nutshell. But we must make sure that that gospel of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, is the rock of our faith. When Jesus said, that's the rock on which I'll build the church, that's it. I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. I am the risen one. That's our faith. Right? And later on in 1 Corinthians, it talks about the resurrection. Okay, the resurrection of Christ. And if you've got your Bibles, I'm not going to read all of it. But if you turn to 1 Corinthians 15, And it says in verse 2, it says, by this gospel you are saved. Right? The gospel will save you. Right? It's not the gospel itself. It's the faith that comes from hearing the gospel that will save you. Right? By this gospel you are saved. And it carries on in verse 3. It says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Now it carries on again. We've only seen him appear to a few. But it says, and that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12, all the other disciples. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. Most of whom are still living. Some have fallen asleep. Some had already died. Right? Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. That's the apostle Paul, because Jesus appeared to him sometime later, so several years later, in a totally different situation. On the road to Damascus, Jesus appeared to Paul. The risen Jesus appeared to him and asked him, why are you persecuting me, Saul? As in persecuting my church. And from there, that transformation of Saul into Paul, he became that preacher to the Gentiles. He took the gospel to the Gentiles. But it's that resurrection of Jesus. That's the basis. It's the basis. It carries on in 1 Corinthians in verse 12. It says, but if it's preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And this is the key. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. That's quite sad. But we know Christ has been raised. Right? If you jump with me straight to verse 20, it says something just to confirm. It says there in verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. He's risen indeed. Right? We may not have seen it, right? But we know, we believe, we have that faith. Christ is risen indeed. It then continues, it talks about him being the first fruits of those raised from the dead. He's the first. Now, I know there were other people raised from the dead by Jesus, and in the Old Testament there's people raised from the dead, but he is the first fruits, the only one that was raised from the dead and is alive now. The others, all those that were raised from the dead died again, but not Jesus. He's alive forevermore. And behold, I was dead and now I'm alive. He is the first fruits, that first offering of those raised from the dead, because those who have faith in him, right, will be made alive. The rest of 1 Corinthians 15 talks about lots of things, but it talks about the resurrection body, because I don't know about you, I think, oh, how's this going to happen? What happens? How does this take place? It's a question we all have. Yeah? We believe we're going to go to heaven. Right, we're going to believe, but how? How's it going to take place? And in 1 Corinthians from chapter 15, from verses 35 up to the end, it talks about the resurrection body that will be sown perishable. Our perishable bodies will die, but it will be raised imperishable. We will be given a new body. Right? It will be different. The first Adam had a normal body like we do. Right? And he had a natural body, but the last Adam, Jesus was the last Adam, as it called, has a spiritual body. It was physical, yet imperishable. It's not spirit. He has got a body, a real body. And the disciples touched him. He ate with them. They let him touch his hands, his side. He welcomed them. He cooked food for them. He's got he is a real living Jesus. Right? He's not a spirit. He is a risen Jesus. Right? And we'll have this body that is spiritual. It's this new body that is prepared for us. And it says the body that is sown is perishable. It's raised imperishable. And we will die. There's no doubt about that. But we will not die. Does that make sense? Physically, we'll die, but then we'll be raised again. Now, sometimes you think, I can't get my head around this. And it's difficult to understand. So you have to have faith to believe. Read the scriptures. That's just one example. There are others that tell us how to do it. We have to believe that, what, as it says in verse 54, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And then it continues, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have this victory over death and the grave through the resurrection of Christ. That's our faith. That's it in a nutshell. Right? We have this victory over death and the grave through the resurrection in Christ. We have this victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. No condemnation for sin, because Jesus' blood has atoned for our sin through our faith in his blood. And it tells in Romans 4:25 that he was delivered over to death for our sins. He was a substitute for our sins. And he was raised to life for our justification. And 1 Peter 1:21, it tells us, through him, through Jesus, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Without this, we had no faith, we'd have no hope. Right? And this hope, it tells us, it was a verse I used last week, Hebrews 6:19. It says, we have this hope as an anchor to the soul, firm and secure, because he's the rock. He's the rock. And John 6:40, John 6 is Jesus says, where he says here, I am the bread of life. Unless you eat my flesh, you'll not live. You think, this is a bit grim, but he's saying that he is the bread, the true bread of heaven that come down, and we need to take him into us. Right? Not physically eat him, but he's the bread of life. Because he said in John 6:40, he says, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. The promises are there all the way through Scripture, all the way through. And Acts 4:12 just reminds us that it's only through Jesus. It says salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. There is no other name. He's the only way. And that name is Jesus. And today, that's what we remember. We remember a risen Jesus. We remember a risen hope. We remember a risen future. Our future has been restored. Without it, we've got a grim future. With it, we've got a glorious future. Christ, the hope of glory in us, because of him, because of what he's done. But we have to make sure that we believe. Just like they did on that first day. Even the ones that hadn't seen him, they saw the folded grave clothes. They saw and they believed. And then later they saw him. Later they saw him, which confirmed that belief. Now we may never see that in this life, but we will see Jesus. We will see Jesus. And as the song goes, I can only imagine what that will be like. What will you say? Will I fall on my knees? Will I shout hallelujah? I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. I am looking forward to it. But that's the name of Jesus. That's what it's all about. I'd just like to close in prayer. So if you bow your heads with me. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your love, your grace and your mercy, Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, thank you for your salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. And by his blood, we're cleansed, our sins are forgiven, and that curse, the wages of sin is death, no longer applies to those who call upon your name. Lord, I just want to thank you that through Jesus' death and resurrection, we can have eternal life. We are saved. We're saved from the wrath of God, from hell and that second death and eternal torment. We're saved to eternal life in a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. We're saved by faith in the Son, who was crucified by sinful men, but was raised to life on that third day. And amen. And if there's anyone here who's yet to accept and believe that Jesus is their Saviour, all you need to do is your ABCs. You admit you're a sinner, believe in the name of Jesus, and call upon his name. And if you haven't done that and you want to do that, see me afterwards and we'll talk salvation. But Father God, on this Easter day, we remember that first Easter, and that by your grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, we are redeemed, we are saved. And there's nothing we can do to earn salvation. It's your gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And it's that gift of grace. And it just doesn't seem enough, but we just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Amen.